for this night. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the blessing of life. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that at this time, Lord, around the world, you are raising up your truth, Father, in the midst of the darkness. Lord, at this time around the world, Lord God, your people are coming forward, Lord God. Those that know your voice, Father, those that walk with you, those that have prepared themselves, Lord God, on the backsides of the desert, Father, at the feet of your Holy Spirit, Lord, are now coming forward with your truth, Lord, with your message, Father, for this time, Lord God, and for your purpose. And so, Lord, this day, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for calling us. Thank you, Lord God, for setting us aside according to your good plan and purpose. Thank you, Father, for loving, Lord God, your people, and for the amazing adventure, Lord, of life in you. Lord, just this evening, Father, I just pray, and we pray, Lord, that your people would rest in you, Father, that they would rest in your truth, Father, that they would trust you, Lord God, and trust that you have all things in care, Lord God, and all things, Father, every situation, Lord God, in their hands. Lord, it's put in your hands, Father, and in their care, Lord God, they can just take your yoke, Father, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So, Lord, we rest in you this evening, Father, and Lord, we commit, Father, this time to you. Father, I get out of the way and I invite the free flow of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to minister to each and every one of us, Father, as your will would have it to be done. In, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. I think there's a few other people with sniffles too, so I don't feel so bad. Revelation chapter 13. Okay. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth to speak great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600 threescore and six. Excuse me. Okay. A little bit of a cold, I'm sorry. Okay. Last time, and I think I might pick up a little bit from, or touch on a little bit from some of what we had gone over last time when we discussed the whole duty of man. You know, with Scripture, throughout, we see that the reality that we came into when we came into this world, we came into a world, we exist in a world where there's a system at work. There's a world system, and the other side is a kingdom. Kingdom of God. So you have the world, which is a very complex spiritual system with a spiritual hierarchy discussed in Ephesians chapter 6. And then you have the kingdom of God, which, now when we talk about a kingdom, we can split this into two. A king with dominion, kingdom. So in the kingdom of God, you have a king who has dominion over all that is within that kingdom. So when any of us that are called by him are called out from darkness into light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, you come out of the world and the world system into the kingdom, and that which there is, God has dominion over. It's not a democracy. There's no elections. There's no ballot stuffing. There's no UNP, PA, nothing like that. You come into a place where God has all authority, all power, all, and those that come into and submit to that kingdom are within the boundaries and the parameters where there is safety, God's provision, God's protection. Those that are outside of his kingdom are those that are inside the world and the world system. And to that system, they have bowed their knee. To that system, they look to for provision. And to that system, it loves and takes care of its own. So, when we read Revelation 13, what I see and what... I'm not going to go into all the current base teaching on this stuff, but I want to just touch on a highlight a couple things. One, you see the repeat pattern and the worldly manifestation of this world system coming again and again. Different forms, different ways that it comes forward. Always, though, the same thing. John chapter 10, where Jesus talked about the thief, he said, "The thief come only but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So this world and this world system, the purpose of it is to steal, kill, and destroy. And everything that it does is along those lines. So people get into that system for a period of time. They get into that system because they believe there's a benefit to them. They get into that system because they're told that you can't trust God, that the cards are stacked against them. In verse 4 of this chapter, it said, "They worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And many times, what you'll see is the people of God losing faith, losing their confidence in God because of how dark things seem to get, how difficult things seem to become, how oppressive the environment is that they begin to live in. And then they see the world, they see it advancing, and for them they say, who can war against this? And the truth is, outside of the Spirit of God, outside of the anointing of God, outside of the empowering that comes from the Spirit of God upon a person's life, there is no way that you can war against this world. There is no way that you can stand in the trial that's here. There is no way that you can make it. So we needed a Savior. We needed someone to bring us out. Now, one thing, if you look in the Old Testament and you look, or not the Old Testament, but you look when Jesus was here, there was a very powerful world system in operation. Which one was it? Okay. Anyone? Who was it? Who ran the world system of the day during Jesus' times? Well, yes. On the spiritual level, it was Satan. Okay. But on a natural level, who was it? Begins with an R. Yeah, there we go. Romans. Very good. So, during Jesus' day, the Romans ran the world. Now, did Jesus overturn the Roman Empire? No, he didn't. What did he do? Excuse me. What did he do? When Jesus established, I want you to think about this, because when Jesus established his kingdom, when he came, Luke chapter 17, he established a kingdom that was within. And he set his kingdom up while this other system was going on. So the Roman system existed, kept going for a season of time, and then eventually it crumbled, fell apart, a new one came up, then that one went, another one's come up, that one's gone. So today you have America, today you have Mahinda, today you have China, today you have all of these governments in the world working towards something. But in all of what they're working with, the kingdom of God has continued to grow and to fill the whole earth. The kingdom of God has continued to move forward. The gates of hell have not been able to prevail against the church, the true church. God's kingdom is moving forward. But it's a spiritual kingdom. Luke chapter 17. I'll show you this again. Luke chapter 17. And verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall ye say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So the king dominion of God is within you. The dominion of God is within you. It's not an external kingdom, but it's one that is within. And so what happens too is the world is very difficult for people once you've been trained and indoctrinated into the world to separate that thinking from this to when you actually are now moving and operating within the kingdom of God. So it's very difficult for people to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, to have the new mind that God intended for you to have. The kingdom is within. And so this is why many times what you'll see, the form of godliness that denies the power thereof, it'll use worldly principles, use worldly tactics, use worldly systems, and in the end stamp a label that says this is God, but it's really not. So we end up having a very strong delusion, having a very strong message out there that Jesus said, My sheep know my voice. And they're the ones that won't listen to that message. They're the ones who, in their heart, when they see that, when they hear that, they still know something's wrong. They still know there's something missing there. Bless you. Okay, so back to Revelation 13, though. With this one, what you see is you see constantly this rising up, a system's continually rising up in this world. Now, if it were not for the Spirit of God, if it were not for the protection of God, there is no way that a single true child of God could be alive to this very day. If it were not for God, there's no possible way that any of us would have made it and be able to live even past the first day that you came into this world. Because like Pharaoh with Moses, there's a desire to kill you even from the moment that you're born. You know the whole slogan for the Olympics? Anyone? It's finishing up now pretty soon. What's the slogan for the Olympics? One world, one dream. One world, one dream is a slogan for the Olympics. It's a slogan for this massive display of here's what the world, in all of its cut and polish way it is, it's a big show. If you bit into that apple, you'd see that it's rotten inside. But it's a big show. But this whole thing, one world, one dream. And that dream is a world without God. That dream of the system of the world is a world without God. So one world, I'll show you. One world, right here. One world, one dream. That dream is no kingdom of God. Because in order for them to have their one world, they have to get rid of this. They have to get rid of that kingdom. Because this kingdom of God is an affront to their one world system. When Jesus Christ stands up, when the light shines bright, what happens is they realize they're exposed. The truth exposes. And so they don't want that. The system of the world doesn't want that. So as you see these things, as you watch these things, as you see what it is, it's the world highlighting itself, the world patting itself on the back. And with that, realize that you have been called out from. You've been called out from that system in the world. You are part of a spiritual kingdom. And that kingdom is within. That kingdom continues to grow within. That kingdom begins to nurture more and more within as you walk with the Father, as His Word speaks to you, as you live and move and have your being in Him, that kingdom grows within. You grow stronger with Him. You learn more of His voice. Your life is hid in Him, but you still exist in this world. John 17, and verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Okay, so, again, Roman Empire, Jesus Christ came into the world. He's in the world, but not of the world. The wheat and the tares continue to grow together. And we, likewise, are in the world, but not of the world. So, rather than looking for a holy huddle, as we call it, a place where everybody can just get together and stop and withdraw. Rather, these are, when we come together like this, these are times of refreshing, these are times of encouraging, these are times of spiritual strengthening, so that you can go back strong into the world, though you're not of the world, but you go into the world with the assignment that God has given you. You go into the world with the authority of the kingdom of God vested in you for the work that God has for you. There's a different way that we relate to life in this world. There's a different way that we relate to our experience in this world. But the world will constantly work to have you make and do what it is that Lucifer sought to have Jesus do in Luke chapter 4. Continue to keep your finger in Revelation 13, but Luke chapter 4 in verse 5 said, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give unto thee, I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Okay, so, kingdom of this world will constantly work to get you to do one thing, which is to use the free will that God has given you, and to, out of that free will, make your decision to bow your knee to the world and the world system. And Jesus, when he was made that offer, he said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thee serve." You will only bow your knee to the king in his dominion, the kingdom of God. That is the only place for a true child of God. But the system of this world works to get you to the point where you will bow your knee to that system, where you will give your spiritual allegiance to this side and be a slave to that system in exchange for provision, in exchange for protection, in exchange to be something in that world. You see the difference? So, the system of religion in the world, again, last time we talked about the difference between relationship and religion. The system of the world gives you a system of religion, whereas the kingdom of God gives you a true relationship with the Father in Christ Jesus, where there is no separation between you and God, where there is no man that stands between you and God. The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. You needed someone ultimately to make, do sacrifices for you, to go in, to sprinkle blood on the altar, to cut this bull, to do all these things. You needed a man to help you get to God. And Jesus Christ, when he became that high priest in the order of Melchizedek, and his body was broken for us, the blood of Christ was shed, you no longer needed a man to get to God. You now had direct access to the Father through Christ Jesus. Religion and the world system of religion has stitched back up the veil when God tore it, stitched it back up, stood in front and said, "No, you still need a man to get to God." That's what the world system of religion is this day. That's what the temple systems are. That's what the mosques are. That's what the church buildings, many of them are, is part of the world system of religion. Not part of the kingdom of God. There's a difference. Okay, so Again, the desire in the world is to get you to give your allegiance and make a free will decision to give yourself to that system. So, for example, let's just touch on this one here a little bit. Verse 16 in Revelation 13, and it says that, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for this is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 4666. Now, we can go through numerology, we can talk about different things, but the world, and part of the way that the world works, is problem, reaction, solution. So, because we still have an inborn conscience, and we still have something that even some of the most twisted people still have something in them where they say, oh wait, I don't know about this. So the world, the way the world system will work is it will create problems, create issues, so that man will work, will actually ask for the very controls that it sought to give you in the first place. So it'll make you sick so that then you ask for a cancer treatment that radiates you. It will corrupt your food supply so that then you now need another part of it. And each time you get deeper and deeper within that system. There's actually, in the States, there are grains where they grow them, genetically modified grains, where unless you use the certain fertilizers and pesticides provided by a certain company, the seed will start growing to a point, and then it'll die unless you use that specific fertilizer, because it's genetically altered to only use that fertilizer or that pesticide. So, and now when you corrupt God's creation like that too, the kind of things that are happening even with the food supply around the world, people are getting sick off of food because food is not nourishing the body the way it was made to, because man has gone and messed it up. Again, to rob, steal, kill and destroy is what the system of the world does. If they left God's creation alone, it would work just fine. Okay, so today, for example, saying now, okay, the thing about, say for example, people talk about this mark of the beast and all of that. Okay, just saying within today's context, if something like that was to come, what would that look like? How would the world and the world system today, if it wanted to do something like that today, how would it bring it forward to you? So that it would look like it... See, one thing is Scripture. We have to always keep... We see the world through the eyes of Scripture. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Proverbs 19. So there's a way that seems right to a man. Wait, no, that's Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16. So there's a way that seems right. So what will happen if the world wants to, say, push something like that forward to all people? How would they push something like that forward? You won't see the devil standing up with horns and a pitchfork and saying, here's a one-way ticket to hell, please. But what you will see is you will see the world line up for something like this. How and why? Okay. If we were just talking about a mark in the hand or a mark on the forehead. Now, have you seen these little microchips that they have? These little They look like about the size of a grain of rice. They use them already to tag animals, to keep people's medical records, things like that. Actually, globally, they already have something similar. They use these with military to keep track of troops. I was just thinking the other day of how many different ways something like this could be sold to the general public. You're here. Let me give you a few. No more bribery is possible. System like that, a cashless system. Creation of a cashless system where there is no more money, but everything is direct transactions with people or with institutions where everything can be tracked. No more bribery is possible with something like that, where there is no more cash. All of your medical records could be kept, where in the case of any kind of emergency, you would be able to access, or say somebody's in a car accident, and they can then go and just scan somebody's hand, scan their forehead. They know everything about that person. They know their blood type. They know every accident they've been in. They know all of their next of kin. Immediately, they can get to that person. Convenience. You can travel. You can go wherever it is that you want to. You don't have to go apply for visas. Nothing like that. They know who you are. They know where you are. Children. Your children won't be... Nobody can kidnap your children now. They can go out and play and they can be safe. And if they ever need to find them, they always know where they are. They can be tracked. Back to the travel and migration. If they don't want people coming into certain countries, they don't want people crossing borders, great way for border security for these different countries. Because now they'll be able to keep people from coming in and out, because now they know whose are those within their system. And unless you have a mark that's valid within that area, now you can't buy and sell within that specific area because you're not part of that system there. So they can leave it open, people can come in, but otherwise you can't get anything in that place, so you can't partake in that place if you're not part of that system. Less waste. A lot of waste goes into the current system they have right now. This is very simple, very convenient. Wages, payments, employees, taxes, all of that's automatic. And here's a nice big one, terrorism. Fantastic way to track and know if somebody's a terrorist or not. Because unless you'd have that, people would know, okay, you must be a terrorist. Because why wouldn't you have that? You see. So no pitchfork, no horns, but something that seems very, very right. I kept listing them. I kept going through. I picked up 15. Distribution of rations and food, spread of infectious diseases, being able to track that, border security, monitoring your own body's health. All of these things that are possible through something like that in a world system where people give their allegiance over to that in exchange for protection, provision, and to be part. One world, one dream. And that world dream is a world without God. So now, how will you relate if this day something like that came forward? And this day, everything that you have, everything that you know, everything that you exist in, though you are in the world, but not of the world, but you're here, you're in the world. Now everything that you are... have in your care in the world, you could lose in an instant if you're not part of that system. So if you're close to retiring, you lose all of your pension, you lose all of your retirement money, you lose your ability to work, you lose your ability to access. Everything's being changed over. Now how do you relate? And what do? See, there's a need for all who are within God's kingdom to know and to understand what even the world is engaging in right now to prepare for something like that. See, the world is working very, very diligently towards something. You see the consolidation of global currencies taking place. You see certain institutions forming that are working towards certain social issues being on the forefront of people's thoughts, of people's decision making. All of these will come together, they'll culminate, because they're ultimately being run by a spiritual demonic hierarchy that is working to bring this together with plan and with purpose. So, for example, the euro is a consolidation of global currencies. Definite manufacturing. The falling of the American dollar and what's taking place there right now in America is deliberate. All of these things that are taking place in the world right now are deliberate, ultimately working towards something. And you, as a servant of God, you as a child of God living in this world, you must remember you are in this world and not of it. And there is a drawing line, there is a boundary line for you in your involvement in this world. And that line comes whenever it is when they say, bow your knee to this world and the world system. Remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into and they were taken into captivity into Babylon. In that captivity, they were working for Nebuchadnezzar. They were working for the king. They were doing a good job. They were doing a fantastic job. But there was a boundary line for them where they said, we will not cross this in that situation. And that was, we will not bow our knee to any other god but our God, the one that we know, the one that we serve, our Creator. That's it. Likewise, that will be tested. And in each and every one of our lives, that is tested. That will be tested. So when you make that decision to follow the Father, then that will be tested. And you have to expect that. You have to brace yourself for that. You have to learn to wait on the Lord so that He renews your strength. You have to learn to embrace the trials of life, knowing that in them He's there with you. You have to learn to exercise the authority that He's also given you in the wars that you're put in the fights that you're put in. And if you don't, then you end up living in something that God never intended for you in the first place. Okay. It's a lifetime of preparation that we go through. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39, speaking of Jesus. This is Jesus towards the end of His earthly ministry. And He came out and went, and as He went to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray ye, enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping, for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he was yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come out to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Okay, so Jesus when he came into this world, he lived a life here in preparation before he began his earthly ministry. And then in his earthly ministry, he lived out that ministry with deliberate intention and purpose. And he knew what was in store for him. Because the same Jesus that read Isaiah, where it said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for it has anointed me to preach the good news. And all of that is the same Jesus that read the same book of Isaiah, where it said that it was God's will to crush his son. So the same Jesus knew the word, knew what was in store for him, knew the price that he would have to pay. And in that knowledge, in that understanding, he spent a lifetime a preparation for what it was that he knew he was going to have to go through and endure. And it was still a struggle. Because when he got to the garden and he was there and he was dealing with his humanity, he was wrestling with what he knew was in store for him. He that knew no sin would become sin for us. He that knew no ever at any point separation from the Father, ever, would know what it was to be separated from the Father. So when he was on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" that he would know separation from him, from himself, from the very core of who he was. And he was wrestling with the agony of what that would be, knowing that it would happen. And when he prayed, he said in verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, Jesus Christ had throughout his life given the example of what it was to bow your knee to the King, to live your life within the kingdom of God. He lived his life, his entire earthly ministry in the kingdom of God. So when anybody saw him, they saw the kingdom. So when he would also go to places, he'd say, Behold, the kingdom of God, you know, it's here. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom is within you. You can live in that place and in that connection. And he had lived his life bowing his knee before the King. Bowing his knee before the dominion of the King of Kings. And likewise, we, those that walk with the Father, live the same way. We bow our knee to the King. We live our lives at his feet. And though we be in the world, we're not of the world, because we have never bowed and we refuse to bow our knee to this world. We've been saved out of this world. We've been brought unto the Father. And He has us still here for a plan and for a purpose. But our lives are not in this world. So, whatever the case may be, as long as we're following the Father, so be it. So we don't worry about our loss of anything in this world. That's why, too, when Paul was writing his epistles, he said, look, I count it all loss for the sake of what I've got now in Christ Jesus. So when he went through his spiritual pedigree, he said, this doesn't mean anything to me anymore. He's counted all loss for the sake of receiving and knowing and walking in Christ Jesus. All that he had in the world was nothing now compared to living his life under the dominion of the kingdom of God and under the rule of the king. What's the prayer that was taught to the disciples to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, your dominion, your kingship, your rule be done in my life. I choose by my free will to yield my life to yours, to yield my decision, my choice, all that I am to you. And I offer that up as a living sacrifice for you to do with as you please. That is our place. That is our role. That is what we're called to. And then to walk out life in that. Now, it gets, I think, a bit difficult sometimes for people because, again, you're surrounded by the world. On every side, it's there. And it seems sometimes like they have all the cards. So people see the world, and the option is, for them, it seems like, okay, if you are not part of the world, how then will you live? How then will you eat? How then will you function? This is where you must trust. This is where you have to... This is why Jesus taught people Matthew 6. Matthew 6, let's flip there really quick. Matthew chapter 6. Okay. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. Okay, back to two systems. The system of the world, the kingdom of God. So you can't have one foot in one or the other. One and the other. You have to choose. Okay. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here, let me make this note here too. Again, God, mammon. God and mammon. Two systems. System of the world, kingdom of God. Okay, so just for those that worry, not sure if you follow the Father, what's going to happen as far as provision, protection, those things. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, verse 25, for your life, for what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, so Jesus giving those who would follow him. Keep in mind, this is the Sermon on the Mount. So he's gone out to a place, and a lot of people decided to follow him to that place. So for those that would follow Jesus, he's giving them some instructions, saying, look, if you want to keep following me, here's something you're going to need to know. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and God's going to take care of your needs. For those that have walked with the Father, they've seen his provision. For those that have walked with the Father, they've seen throughout their life, when they look back, miraculously, if necessary, that God will provide and take care of those that are his. So his instruction to those that would follow him was, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the dominion of the king and his righteousness, and God will certainly take care of and provide for your needs. And he went through natural examples of how God does this for other creatures, and then wanting us to realize, will he not surely more do this for you? And in fact, you allow for the adventure of God now to unfold in your life when you trust him like that. See, before, the world will give you a very clear cut. Here's what you get in exchange for your soul. And it hates, the world hates everybody that comes into this nonetheless. It loves its own, but it also hates its own. It accepts it, but then it also wants to kill you off. So, because the very nature of the world system is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So I've been learning a lot about different countries and things going on in those as well. And it's amazing. It's amazing what the systems of this world do to people. The governments of this world, what they do to their own people. How many governments in this world do you know of that you can say have the best interests of their people at heart? Can anyone name me? I see people laughing. Think of the governments of this world. The governments of this world, how many of them do you know that have their best interests of their people at heart? Why is that? Why is it that apparently they do not? That apparently, given the choice, they do not have the best interests of their people at heart. Okay, back to Luke chapter 4. There's a very clear answer. Luke chapter 4, in verse 5, says, the devil taking him up unto a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. That's his system. So Jesus, obviously, he said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But a lot of people haven't had that response. A lot of people, when they were given the very same offer, did not have that same response. And they were offered the kingdoms of this world in exchange for their soul. They were offered the kingdoms of this world, a kingdom in this world, a place in this world, a place in the company, a place somewhere in the world system, and they bowed their knee in exchange for that. They bowed their knee to the world and the world system in exchange for that. And the higher you want to go in the world, the more you have to fulfill this job. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the higher that you want to go in the world, in the world system, the more you have to be willing to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now does it make sense why so few governments that you can think of in this world have the best interests of their people at heart? And it's not going to change by a revolution. Because people keep, if you look for, you won't find it in the natural. Jesus said, the kingdom is within. Because you could take it to the point where you put three people on a deserted island and they would still war with each other. The whole world could be wiped out, you could have three people left, and they would still fight and war with each other. Because until that resolve and that resolution has taken place inside the heart of a person, where they're at peace with their Creator, where they're at peace with their Maker, then and only then can they come into peace with someone else. And the world's offer of peace is something external. The world's offer of peace is something temporal, is something physical, and it still doesn't solve the problem, which is there is no peace within. That's why you will never see peace in this world, not without the kingdom of God. And that's why their one world, one dream is not one where there's peace. Their dream is really a nightmare. One world, one nightmare. Without the kingdom of God, you have no hope. Without the kingdom of God, without the rule of the king, there is nothing worth even protecting and preserving in this world. You remember the situation with Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened there? The father came down and was discussing with Abraham regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham petitioned the father and said, look, if you can find 50, would you spare this place? And he kept going, 40, 30, 20, 10. If you can find 10 righteous people, will you spare this place? And God said, for 10 righteous people, I'll spare the whole place. There weren't 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah. So what did God do? The couple that were, the few that were there, he sought to bring them out. And once they were clear of the city, there was no reason for that city to remain. And it was wiped out. And it was destroyed. So without the righteous, without the children of God in this world, there is no reason for this world to continue on. Without the children of God there, there is no reason for a nation to exist, for a city to exist. There is no reason. So that's why, too, many times I've seen even God may have you in a place just to keep from that place being destroyed. Just to give that place a little bit of time so that it can repent. Just to give people the maximum amount of time so that they can still have the opportunity to bow their knee before the dominion of the King of Kings. So sometimes too, you might be saying, why am I here? Lord, why did you allow me to be here? Okay, if your life is not your own, it belongs to the Father. Maybe He has you there for somebody else besides yourself. So maybe allow for your mind to go off your problems and what things you're facing and to put it on the Father and ask Him, Lord, show me the purpose that you have me here so that I can help fulfill that. Strengthen me for what you put me in this place for. We need to seek the Father at this time for many, many people that need Him. I've recently just been talking to a number of people that just in the world, and life in the world is very miserable. And especially if you're a child of God and you're slaving in this world, it's an incredibly miserable thing. Because God has called you unto Himself. He wants you for Himself. He doesn't want to share your loyalty and your heart with anyone else. But the choice still remains with us. The choice still remains with you. You make a decision. You make a free will decision. So we deal with these systems. Has it started to make more sense as we've gone through this? How do you start to see it more with the difference between the kingdom of God and the system of the world? Because now you can start to filter the things that come your way and put it where it needs to go. Okay, I'll put another one up here. Church. Okay, and I put church and true church. And there's a difference. There is the church, the institution, which is part of the world system, and then there is the true church of God, which is not bound by walls, which meets in the streets, which meets in the marketplaces, which meets wherever it is that the Father puts them, which, as in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus was talking with Jesus, they're like the wind. They go wherever the Spirit of God leads them, versus the system of this world. Okay, let me show you one. Here, go to Matthew 23. We've still got time. Matthew 23. Since we're talking a little bit about the world system. Matthew 23 and verse number 1 says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, that they may broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth. So what, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Oh wait, let me stop there for a second. Everything that Jesus described there, he described how we live and respond within the kingdom of God. So our lives within the kingdom of God is that we only have one master, who is Christ. You're all brethren. Peter chapter 2, 1st or 2nd Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, where it says that you are a royal priesthood. You're part of a priesthood of all believers. So there is, every one of you is a priest. People have different responsibilities in the body of Christ, but every one of you is a priest, and we have one high priest. Versus the world system, which has all different levels. And you work your way up from a junior pastor to a senior pastor to a bishop to an Episcopalian, whatever. You work your way up in the system. Whereas God gives specific responsibility to those that He's called to have that. And no man takes that upon themselves. God gives. It said, "Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But the greatest that is among you shall be your servant, and whomsoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." That, for us, is life within the kingdom. Now, Jesus then goes on in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in. Okay. They shut up the kingdom. They shut up the dominion of the king. How do they do that? See, Jesus, just before that, established what it is to be in the kingdom. They shut up the kingdom because they lord it over those. They stand between the Father. They shut it up because they stand in front of that door. And they say, you need me to get to God. And they neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So those that are going within with the Father, they keep trying to bring them back out and to get them wrapped up into a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. To get them wrapped up into some religious form, some religious activity that lacks the power and the truth of God. Something that appears a form of righteousness, ritual rather than true relationship with God. They freak out at the possibility of you actually following God for yourself, knowing His voice for yourself, doing what He tells you to do without their control. See, the world and the world system is a system of control. So even when we talked about, you know, if they were to sell you the mark of the beast today, ultimately, what they're selling you is a system of control that people would take by their free will in exchange for provision and protection by the world system. And in exchange for complete loyalty to that system rather than to the kingdom of God. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass land, sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. All of this effort for converts, all of these big productions, and in the end, what's created is another version of themselves. I had a friend tell me one time that I ministered with in India. He said, like people, like pastor. Whatever's inside of that person who is pastoring a congregation is inevitably sown into the people that he's ministering to or working with. And you will see this time and time again. So if you see a congregation that's out of control in some area, it's because that spiritual seed is being sown into them by the person that's in that position there. So make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. And it's magnified. So when you start looking at places and you start seeing what's going on around you, see it through a different way. Woe unto you, verse 16, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold in the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gold of the temple or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things that are thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwell therein. Okay. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and he and him that sitteth thereon. Okay, let's look at this one really quick. Verse 16. They say, all right, here, temple and the gold. Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold in the temple, he is a debtor. Okay, in the Old Covenant, the temple was the place where God, because he was creating a natural representation of a spiritual reality. But here, what did God say? What did Jesus say earlier? You cannot love both God and mammon. Where was their love? Where was their heart? It was with the gold. Despite the fact that they were ministering in the temple, their love was with the gold. Now as you keep reading this, you just start to see their allegiance was to the world. Their allegiance was to the world and the world system. And the epitome of it was when Jesus Christ was standing before Pilate and they said, "Crucify him." And Pilate said back to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" What did they say? "We have no king but Caesar." There you go. Their allegiance was to the world and the world system and not to the kingdom of God. So they were shown for who they were, and their desire was to put out that light. I'll close with this verse here. John chapter 3 and verse 19 said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." So we are children of the light. We are children of the truth. If the world hates you, when the world hates you, don't worry about it. It's par for the course. And the Father is leading and guiding you into all truth. And this is part of what you must come through, because that stance that you have taken now must be tested. The trials that come in this life are there to refine the gold of the Spirit of God within you, the true spirit, the true gold, that which is has true value, not the material, not the carnal. God allows for those things that come into your life for a reason and a purpose. Allow them to come your way. Praise God in whatever situation that you're in. Worship Him in whatever situation you're in. Trust Him in whatever situation you're in. He will surely bring you through. And we bow our knee to no man and to no system, but to the kingdom of God and to the King of Kings. To Him and Him alone do we serve and do we worship. That is what we do as children of God. And that is where I will stop, because I've run out of time. So I will pass it back to... Okay. So I will close it. We will close it in prayer right now. Okay. Well, Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Father, we say thank you, Lord God, for the fact that you have us, Father. Lord, that you have your people, Lord God. The Lord, that you saved us out of this system of the world, Lord God, and brought us into your kingdom. The Lord God, that despite the fact that this world and the way that it works, Lord God, is overpowering to anyone, Lord, that wouldn't know you and walk with you. Lord, you are strong. And Lord God, you saved us out of this world with a strong hand, Lord God. And Father, so we this night, Lord, we bow our knee, Lord God, before you. Lord, we bow, Lord God, our hearts before you. And Lord, You are King. You are the King of kings and You are the Lord of lords. And to You only will we serve, Lord God. To You only, Lord God, will we give our allegiance and our heart. And Father, I ask, Lord, we ask this evening, Father, that You strengthen Your people, Lord God. Father, that You strengthen Your church. Father, that You strengthen, Lord, those that walk with You and know You. Father, that You would empower, Lord God, Your people this evening, Lord God, to walk out this commitment, Father, even as Your Spirit enables us, even as Your angels watch over us, Lord God. Even, Father God, as You destroy the works of the devil, Lord, in every place that we set our foot. Father, we thank You, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father, continually, Lord, for this nation, Lord, that light would shine bright in this land, Father. And, Lord, that Your truth would rise up strong in this place. Father, we pray, Lord God, that You would raise up Your ministers at this time, those that know You, Lord God, and those that walk with You. Lord, raise them up, Father, to preach Your truth, Father. Lord, not the lie, Lord God. Let the lie fall to the ground and let Your truth go forward in this land, in Jesus' name. And Father, we, Lord God, we hold up, Lord, Your people in this place this evening. Father, for those that are sick in their bodies, Lord, we pray that You heal them right now in Jesus' name. Father, for those, Lord God, that are seeking direction right now, Lord, we pray that You would make it clear, Father, Your plan and Your purpose for them in Jesus' name. Father, we trust You, Lord, and we seek You, Father. So, Lord, we commit, Lord, our lives into Your hands. Lord, we pray, Father, for everyone as they travel to and fro from here, Lord, that You would keep them. Lord, that there would be no harm, accident, or negative incident that would come near them, Father. But, Lord, all of them, Father, that You would just watch over them and continue to lead and direct their lives. We commit all things into Your hands, and we thank You for Your lordship and Your kingdom in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.